I'll be the first one to tell you that I can write a press release. What used to take me 8 hours to write a press release, I can write in about 30 minutes now because of AI and because of the prompts I've done and because of what I've done before. But I will also be the first one to tell you that if I didn't already know how to write a press release, it would not be a good press release.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. We've got a recurring guest here, although I think she might have actually been on the podcast before. We kind of updated the brand of the Content Cocktail Hour, so maybe the first formal appearance on this version of the show. But our last conversation was so fun. I'm excited for this one. We're joined by co-founder and CMO of Fullcast, who's had some exciting news lately. Dr. Amy Osmond-Cook has joined us today. We're going to dig into that acquisition, learn a little bit about what that means for Fullcast and kind of the greater go-to-market ecosystem. I'm going to learn a little bit, I think, as well about kind of the M&A activity, acquisition opportunity, and kind of from the CMO seat. Obviously, a lot goes into that from a brand, go-to-market, campaign, announcement perspective, and we're all going to listen to her experience there. So, Amy, why don't I stop rambling? And in your own words, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your background and what you're up to with Fullcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to be here, and thanks for having me on again. I had a great time last time as well. So, my name's Amy Cook. It's super nice to be here. I love being able to chat with other leaders about marketing and brand and riff back and forth. And anyone who's in marketing knows that you're only as good as your last campaign. And we all need to learn from each other and just keep growing. So my background is long. I came at this in kind of a non-traditional way. I used to be in academic book publishing. And so that gave me a real love for content. I got a PhD in organizational communication about how organizations persuade, which was a great marketing background. And then I started an agency about 15 years ago and also did some fractional CMO work. I've worked with hundreds of CEOs, hundreds of businesses. I feel very lucky to have done that. And then I've had the privilege of working with several businesses as the CMO. And the first one was Simplus. That's a Salesforce ecosystem partner that was acquired by Infosys in 2020. Then I worked with a company called Pathology Watch that was acquired by Sonic in 2023. And then with a company called Onboard that was acquired by Conservice in 2024. And at that point, my former boss, Ryan, at Simplus said, hey, let's get the band back together and let's do something that is really interesting, new, different, and up and coming in the high tech space, in the software space rather than consulting. I was so excited. It took me about 1.5 seconds to say absolutely. And here we are. So we have a really fun announcement today. We acquired technology called Fullcast. It was a territory and quota management platform. And we have now merged it with commissions. So now we're a full sales performance management platform as of this week. So we're thrilled.
I love that. Congratulations. We're going to dig into all of that. I love your background too. I'm not sure I kind of knew where it all started, but it's so fascinating. Some of the best marketers and especially some of the best content marketers we talk to, it almost feels like there's always this like melting pot of experience. A lot of times, like we've heard journalists, teachers, you know, you come from the academic publishing space. There's some correlation to that of like that varied experience creating, I think, really strong marketings because the marketing function itself is so varied, very broad function. So.
You're right about it. It's a billion little things, right? And so, you know, I really fell in love with words when I was probably 12. I would sit up in my crow's nest, we called the attic the crow's nest. I go up to my attic and I just read books and books and books. And one day I found a typo in one of the big five publications. And I was like over the moon. I'm like, I can't believe I found a typo and the publishers missed it. Wow. And I remember that seminal moment at age 12 thinking, wow, I actually could do something like this. This is so embarrassing. But I remember another moment that is kind of like one of those like flashbulb moments. And I was sitting there writing my essays for college exams. And I wrote something that I thought so beautiful. It was so beautiful, I started crying. And I was like, first of all, that's totally ridiculous. Second of all, I really enjoy this.
That's awesome. I don't think that's embarrassing at all. I think that's cool.
Well, thank you. So it's been very, very fun to see how the content space has evolved so much and how everything is really kind of converging in a lot of ways as multimedia takes hold.
Yes, we'll dig into that. But this is the Content Cocktail Hour, Amy, so I can't let you off the hook. The question we ask all of our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
All right, well, I have my first favorite drink right here with me. It's Diet Mountain Dew.
You're on a patio. I thought, man, maybe she's enjoying a rosé or a white wine or something.
This is my favorite because a couple things. I love drinking it in the morning because it's got caffeine in it.
Yep.
And the first two ingredients are water and orange juice.
I like it. I like it.
You know, it's soda, but I love it. That's what I'm drinking these days.
You truly are drinking it. You had it on hand, which is one of the rare occasions that happens on the show. So I love that. Well, Amy, you mentioned there's a lot of like kind of converging of you were talking about content specifically in multimedia. But like even broader than that and go to market, I feel like there's a lot of convergence right now with different tools, different solutions, roles being converged into single roles or roles being expanded into multiple roles, you know, go to market engineering, obviously all things AI. I'm curious kind of as the full cast and commissionly opportunity presented itself, was that something that you felt kind of fit what was happening in the space right now and you really needed to expand from maybe, feel free to push back on me, but like from a point solution to more of a platform solution because so many go-to-market professionals are taking on so much more right now?
That is the perfect way to describe that. As you see things develop, you see, especially in a market where tech consolidation is happening rapidly, where efficient growth is really important, where CFOs are getting involved in more and more of the buying cycle, saying, hey, if you want to add a tool here, you've got to cut two over here. A platform solution is really important. And it's interesting because it needs to be not necessarily best of breed, although we like to believe that ours is best of breed, but it also has to be best of budget. And so if you can find that sweet spot where you can solve 99% of the problems in one platform, you can get rid of other technologies and you can put it in the hands and AI and enable this with AI enough that you can put this in the hands of one operator that can do it from end to end, then you're really providing a lot of value for a company.
I've talked to multiple people, you know, we as marketers, a lot of times we own the, you know, what's our ICP, what's our persona, buyer persona, user persona, et cetera. And like, we should know all those answers, but right now the buyer for everybody is the CFO. And I think, I like how you just very literally kind of translate that of like, hey, we can buy this tool. We got to get rid of two other tools. And so that having that solution that can solve for multiple use cases, have a champion inside of the business, I think is so important right now as well, because they're the one sitting across from the CFO, building the business case. I think that's really critical as well.
It is. I think that is really critical. And another thing that we found that is just absolutely critical is being able to understand how the solution works within a particular industry and within a particular business. If you come to the table and you say, hey, I'd like to demo my platform and here are all the features, you're gonna lose every time. It has to be value selling. It has to be based on what I know about your business. Companies like you are using the tool in these ways. And with that kind of analysis coming, you know, even in a discovery call, it's becoming more and more important.
Man, I feel like I'm like cliche after cliche here right now, but with all things AI right now, you see the statistics of, you know, buyers, they've done all their research and they're like 75% of the way through the buying cycle before they ever talk to the company, right? And I think what that translates to is a lot of time the buyer is, they're looking to validate a decision they've already made. Or if you're not the one that they've already kind of decided on and they're just looking to validate, you really have to do some work to unwind that and build the business case. And I think marketers sometimes complicate too much like top of funnel content, bottom of funnel content. I think a lot of the funnel's happening without us and we just have to meet them where they're at. And for different people, they prefer different types of content, different formats, different stories, etc. And I just think really high quality content is kind of the answer to all of that.
I absolutely believe that. You know, Christine Crandall, she lives in the Bay Area, and she has built the best framework that I have ever seen. It's called the Seller's Compass. And it allows us to understand content in the context of the buyer's journey from the buyer's perspective. So I like it because it very clearly defines content in four distinct phases. And the first one is, do I want to solve my problem? So that's the first part of it, right? You people are coming to trade shows, they're reading articles about the problem, saying like, is it solvable? Do I want to solve it? The next stage is, what are all of my available options? So let's say that you have a horrible win rate, right, on your sales team. And yes, you've decided that you think you need to solve this problem. So the next are, what are my available options? Well, is it because my sales team can't sell? Is it because their quote time is too long? Is it because they don't have the right materials? Like, it could be so many different things, right? And then you start going through, and the content that you write at that point is, you know, what are all the different available options? And so leading them to the next phase of, which one should I choose? So let's say that someone settles on CPQ, for example, a configure price quoting solution. Let's say that you decided that your quote time is too long and you need a configure price quote solution in order to speed up the sales team and improve their win rate. So then at that stage, you'd be like, okay, which one should I choose? Should we choose the Salesforce option, or should we choose the HubSpot option, or should we choose the ServiceNow option, or whatever? And then once you make that choice, that's where all the one sheets for data come into play. And then the last stage is the validate stage, where it's, did I make the right choice? And that's where all of your testimonials and your case studies and your business plans and everything like really comes into play. So if you think of it in that way, in the buyer's journey, everything is really predicated and pushed by different stages in the content journey.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I'm going to have to look that up. Seller's Compass. We'll get that link in the show notes too.
That'd be awesome. Christine, if you're listening, shout out to you.
Shout out, Christine. I love it. Okay, well, Amy, if you're okay with it, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I'd love to maybe just hear about kind of your journey on this acquisition. Like, as leading the marketing, I assume there's a lot of brand considerations going into it very early on, probably even before the acquisition, and then obviously post-acquisition, kind of how you take either both brands or a combined brand to market. Let's start super high level and kind of how you sort through your thoughts as the business is considering this M&A opportunity.
For us, we knew pretty early on that we wanted to become a platform solution rather than a point solution. The original co-founder who built the product, Fullcast, Bala Bala Bhaskaran, was the head of RevOps at Salesforce. And he is just a phenomenal leader. He wanted to make this a platform. You know, once we bought the technology and formed the new entity, we were able to provide the capital to be able to do that. So we knew from a long time ago that we wanted to do this. We also had the build versus buy discussion between us. And we thought, you know, we can get a lot further faster if we find just the right company. And so, you know, another huge shout out to Martin Baker and Patrick McCarthy, who had built this beautiful commissions platform and were willing to come along this journey with us. And so our CEO, Ryan, was able to pull this all together, create this beautiful unified platform. We actually acquired the platform 6 months ago, and we've spent the last 6 months integrating everything into Fullcast. So then when we launched it, we could say we are now currently today selling the end-to-end solution from plan all the way through pay. And it's not vaporware. We don't have to integrate it still. It's already there. Yeah. So that was an interesting brand choice for me, because normally when you acquire a company, you want to announce it right away. But because of the value of being able to capitalize on the announcement and then also try to move it as quickly as possible into pipeline, actual pipeline and sales, we decided to delay it and, you know, make the announcement once the platform was integrated.
I am guilty of that even in my role today. Like, I was a product marketer in my past, and, you know, really pride myself on the like go-to-market playbook and launch and announcement and campaign. And I sometimes like, I want things to be too perfect before we launch. And it's like, all right, let's just launch. Like, you know, sometimes done is better than perfect. But I like the idea of like wanting to convert it as quickly as possible in the pipeline. So let's get the product live and make a big deal with the announcement. That's really cool.
Yeah, thank you. And yes, we did treat it very much like a product release and launch. And so in the same breath, we said, hey, we are so excited that we have acquired Commissionly and launched for what we're calling Fullcast Pay. So we have Fullcast Plan, Fullcast Perform, and Fullcast Pay. And that was also an interesting brand decision because we have an advisory council. And a few months ago, one of our customers said to our CEO, Ryan, hey, you know that you're underselling yourself, right? And he's like, what? How are we doing that? And she said, you are the complete end-to-end solution from plan to pay once you can get some your commissions platform working. And he said, that is absolutely brilliant. So he came to me and said, Amy, I want this to be our tagline, but I need to know what we should name these modules. And we have, you know, the TQM module, territory and quota management. We've got the perform module, which is Salesforce policies and some sophisticated routing for accounts and leads and opportunities. And then we have this commissions platform. And so he's like, I don't know what to name this. What should we name this? And so, you know, we went through several iterations, you know, exercise. And one day I just said, I think we've got it. It's Fullcast Plan, Fullcast Perform, and Fullcast Pay. And it seems so obvious and so simple right now, but at the time it wasn't. At the time we're like, should we call it Fullcast Commissions? Should we call it Fullcast like routing? And so once you find the brand that really fits, that's another lesson I learned through this experience. It should be so simple and so obvious that you almost feel a little embarrassed that you didn't think of it first.
I've got a story with Audience Plus as well, but last company I was at, there we had a product team that loved to give like code names to projects they were working on. And then they'd always want that code name to become the go-to-market name because it was cool and fun and all this. And I was like, it was in a healthcare analytics space where like a lot of what we were doing was pretty complex. And I was like, we need this to be as literal as possible. Like, and the example I always give is like Google, right? It's Google Docs, Google Slides, Google Drive, like, if it works for Google to just call the product what it is, like surely it can work for us, little healthcare analytics platform. We just went through this. So co-founder, CEO of The Juice, we acquired Audience Plus. We didn't want to run the brand side by side. And we kind of looked at ourselves and said, hey, Audience Plus is really more true to what the product is. So let's roll with that brand. And then we had three product lines once we made the acquisition to sit beneath this Audience Plus umbrella, and we went with plan, distribute, and convert. Again, just very literal, very straightforward. I am actually relieved to hear you say that, where you almost feel a little like, oh, that was really pretty simple. We were probably overthinking that at one point, but I think that sounds like a common experience.
I think that that's when you know that you've really got something, right? As a customer of Audience Plus, that when you laid that out in front of me, that was very simple and easy for me to understand. And in a society where there is so much complexity, the more simple and easy to understand you can make things, the better. So kudos to you for that as well.
I agree. I appreciate that. Maybe last question on this topic. It looks like everything's rolled underneath the Fullcast brand with those product lines, it looks like. What was the consideration to, a lot of acquisitions happen and they run like both brands for a time being, or sometimes it would be like Commissionly powered by Fullcast or vice versa. It sounds like you all have just kind of rolled it into the Fullcast different product lines. What was the decision-making criteria there?
There is a little bit of nuance there, actually, because the commissions platform is good for its end-to-end generalized commissions platform. It's very sophisticated and very customizable. With that said, the Commissionly brand itself, Martin and Patrick did an amazing job building a large audience, a large customer base of payments companies. And so we actually do have the Commissionly website still up specifically for payments. So because of that specific use case, we found that it was useful for us to keep that website up, at least in this, for the time being, while we still have the generalized platform experience available.
Very thoughtful, all the decision making. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I know sometimes some of that stuff happens kind of behind the scenes and very intentionally so, but appreciate you sharing your experience with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Amy, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B sales?
Oh my gosh, this is just going to open up a can of worms, but I would just love, love, love to be on a platform where no AI is allowed. I am so sick of not knowing whether someone that's reaching out to me is a real person. It's just driving me crazy. It's driving a lot of people crazy. I'm in the sales performance management space, right? Like, we have an AI solution, but it's not an outreach solution. And in my opinion, I think more and more people are getting tired and annoyed with AI-driven content that's not human-checked or human-verified. So I'll be the first one to tell you that I can write a press release. What used to take me 8 hours to write a press release, I can write in about 30 minutes now because of AI. And because of the prompts I've done and because of what I've done before. But I will also be the first one to tell you that if I didn't already know how to write a press release, it would not be a good press release. So like, AI is so useful for so much content, but I think that everyone's just annoyed in the B2B marketplace by AI content. We're able to spot it faster than we used to, but I just think that there need to be some like standards in the industry on what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable, because it's making the channels that we have very difficult to work in. So, for example, and here's the other thing. You can tell I'm very passionate about this.
I love it.
On the email marketing side, it's driving me bonkers that there are so many emails that are just fully automated coming into my inbox. And I'm one of the Gen Xers that still uses email. And I have to go at the beginning of every morning and go, boop, 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 boop. I never open them. I just know that they're spam. And I get rid of them. And in order for me to actually open something, I need to know who it's from, probably, or the subject line has to be like super specific and relevant to art, so I know it's coming from a real person. So like, I really think that we need some more guidance in the industry around that, because it's just annoying the heck out of everybody.
Sometimes there's great uses for AI, as you outlined, but I think a lot of times we're using AI to like actually scale bad behavior, or like bad marketing, right, or bad sales outreach. Like,
you said that perfectly.
We're just using it for the wrong thing. We're abusing it a little bit. And I've even shared that to me, there are some parallels with like seeing the like certified organic, like in the food industry, right? Like, that sticker means something to everybody. And now I think sometimes people can conflate like organic with healthy, or vice versa, but
that's brilliant.
Yeah, it feels like there needs to be this like certified, like human created, human edited or something in the space. And I'm actually a little surprised that hasn't happened yet. But I think that's not to say like sometimes things that aren't organic can be healthy. And that's okay too. We can have AI content and it can be good content, but I think the reader should at least have the transparency to know. It'll help them kind of make sense of what they're reading and know, you know, do I need to continue to validate this?
I agree. I think it's an authenticity and an honesty issue. Nobody minds getting a newsletter because you know that you're one of many that's reading it, right? In my opinion, what the problem is when you're sending out emails, and the entire industry is guilty of that, including me, right? I am an offender where we've gotten to the place where we can very quickly personalize everything because everybody wants personalized stuff. But instead of going into the mind of like, oh, everyone wants personalized things, we should personalize it actually. We should actually personalize it. It's how do we get away with not personalizing it, but pretending that we're personalizing? And I think that that's really where a lot of the problems have come from.
We need to have a third episode where we really pick away at this, because I've said as well, I think personalization at scale is kind of like a hoax. Like, the whole point of personalization is that it can be scaled.
It's an oxymoron. Personalization at scale is an oxymoron. It does not make sense.
All right. Well, we'll have to have a follow-up episode there. Hey, Amy, for now, though, if people want to learn more about Fullcast and all the updates to the platform or learn more from you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, thank you very much. And you can actually send me an email. And if you send it to amy@fullcast.com and title it Certified Organic, and I will know it was you and I will respond to you, anybody that wants to. So thank you so much for having me on. It is just such a pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
I love that.
We will get that in the show notes. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, same place. Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.